Glory to God. I want to continue what I started last week, titled Dominion Originates from Jesus. Isaiah chapter 2, and I'm going to be in verses 1 to 5. The same prophecy was repeated in Micah chapter 4, from verse 1 also. Isaiah chapter 2, because of time, I'm just going to stay with Isaiah. This was a prophecy spoken about the church. And when we talk about the church, who are the church? We are. It is not this building that is the church. We are the church. Is this audio good enough, guys? Is it good enough? Okay, great. Isaiah chapter 2, and I'm going to be in verses 1 to 5. Excuse me. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. And that's where we are right now. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. And shall be established above the hills. And all nations shall flow into it. That talks about dominion. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be on top. There are other mountains, but they will be below the mountain of the Lord's house. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. To the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion represents the church, shall go forth the law. Your words become the law as you decree the word of God. Can I have an amen? For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, wake up, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of the Lord is light. That's why the psalmist said, the entrance of your word giveth light. When you enter into the word of God, light comes. And I will speak a lot about that this morning. It is time for us to start walking in the light of God's word, because the days in which we live are very dark. Dark and dangerous. Dark and dangerous. We won't glorify what the devil is doing, but we need to shine our light. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth. It has been prophesied. It's happening now. And gross darkness, the people. But upon you, he said, the Lord shall arise. And his glory shall be seen upon you. Can I have an amen? Can I have a better amen to that? The word of the Lord unto us as a church in 2025 is dominion. Light dominates darkness. I've never seen light begging darkness before. Oh, darkness, can you please move? No. Turn on the light and darkness moves back. Increase the intensity of the light, darkness moves further away. This is the year to walk and to operate in dominion in every area of your life. Dominion in your health. You can't afford to be sick. Medicines are expensive now, and there are many fake medications. Thank God for NAFDAC, they are fighting tooth and nail against it. But you don't want to go that route. Some young people eat their meal and they are taking about 5 different medications combined. At what age? When you can live free. Whoever is in that condition, it stops today in the name of Jesus. He said, come ye house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Because if we don't walk in the light of the Lord, we will be walking in darkness. And when you walk in darkness, you will stumble and fall and get yourself injured. If it happens in your house that there is a power cut, there is darkness, and you can't see anything in the dead of the night, you will fumble around the house, you can hit your leg against a piece of furniture and get yourself injured. But when you turn on the light, you know where this is, we know where that is, it won't waste your time. When you travel in light, you travel very fast. And you travel very far. It's a dark world, but we need to walk in the light of the Lord in the midst of this dark world. And I told us last week, one thing you must do this year, listen to me, church, no matter what you do, who you are, is to prioritize the presence of God. Prioritize the presence of King Jesus. He is light. 1 John 1:5. The Bible makes it clear. We have this record that God is light. 1 John 1:5. And this then is the message we have of him, which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He didn't say God has light. He said God is light. Another thing the Bible calls God is God is love. You wouldn't see the Bible saying that God has love. No, God is love. 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. God is love. And he also says God is light. That's why when you are walking in love, you are walking in light. When you are walking in hate, you are walking in darkness. There is no way you can prove that you love God and you hate your brother whom you see. God that you don't see, but you hate your brother that you see. That's why when people are living in bitterness and envy and malice, they fall sick. Because hate is equal to darkness. Love is equal to light. Can I have an amen? Prioritize the presence of Jesus. That was where I stopped last week. You can get the message and listen to it. And I want to build up on that today. That was my promise. How do I prioritize his presence? How? You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. But the question is, how can I prioritize the presence of God? I don't see God. So how can I prioritize the presence of someone I don't see? Now, you must understand that God is spirit, according to John 4:23. And so we relate to him. Those who worship him must do so. Those who relate to him must do so in spirit and in truth. All right? So, how can I, a mortal man, prioritize the presence? How can I fellowship with the presence of a God I cannot see? A very good question. And one of the things I'll be doing this year in a lot of my messages will be to teach, not just to preach, but to teach. I love it when I'm able to teach and people understand, because then you can fly with the understanding that you have. Understanding is key in life. That was why Paul the apostle prayed for understanding for the church. In Ephesians 1 from verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Light, understanding. Light, understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Because if you don't have understanding, you will misbehave. If you don't have understanding, you will not know how to relate to God. Psalm 119 verse 144 says, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. That means if I don't have understanding, I'll die. Book of Proverbs tells us, as a bird that wanders out of his nest, so is a man that wanders out of his place. He said, a man that walks away from the path of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So spiritual understanding is key. If you don't have understanding in the area of prayer, when people are asking you to come and pray, it will be as though they are putting a burden on you because you don't understand why you should pray. That's why there's so much argument on tithing in the world today, because people lack the understanding of the principles behind tithing and the person behind it. If you lack understanding in any area, you'll be left with arguments. But if you have understanding, you don't need anybody to teach you. If you have understanding that honoring God and his servants can open your ears, your spiritual ears, you will honor people. But if you lack understanding, you will dishonor them. Understanding is key. The Bible warns several times, don't be like the mule that are held with bits in their mouth because they lack understanding. A man in honor and understandeth not is like a beast that perisheth. Understanding is key. Paul prayed for it, that you may have understanding. That you may have understanding. If you have spiritual understanding, you won't come late to church. You will know that it is just not right. Understanding. If I don't meet anybody there, I know God is there. Let me be the first person to get there. Understanding. You will never, you won't need to be coaxed or toasted or wooed into serving God if you have understanding of what spiritual service means and what it can bring to your life. Spiritual service. Your service in the house of God means that, God, you gave me breath, and what you have given me, I'm out of it, I'm giving back to you. You are my source for life. I don't exist on my own. The talent you gave me, out of it, I want to serve you. The energy you gave me, out of it, I want to serve you. And as you serve him, he will service you. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. The number of your days I will fulfill. There is no job that can guarantee that. No organization, no HMO can tell you, as we employ you, one of the fringe benefits is that we will take sickness away from you. Never. Working in a hospital, being a medical doctor, does not guarantee that you won't be sick. There is no hospital, there is no Shell, no Mobil, no Exxon Mobil, no oil company. No matter how much they pay you, let them pay you $1 million per month. There is no organization in the world that can guarantee what serving God guarantees. God said, and you shall serve the Lord your God. Go back to verse 25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread. That's not God blessing your bread. That's the angel assigned to you blessing your bread. If you want to know about that angel, it's in verse 20. Go there quickly. I'm speaking about understanding, and I'm coming back here. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way. As a believer, you are assigned angels. Hebrews 1:14 tells us, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, to help, to assist those who shall be heirs of salvation? Are we not the heirs of salvation? So we have angels. And God said, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Your angel is to assist you into destiny. Kai, may you enjoy angelic assistance this year. It is real. It is real. I have experienced it. I have read about it. I've seen people live who have enjoyed it. And we have angels. Now in verse 20, 25, he was talking about that angel from verse 20. When he got to verse 25, he said, and you shall serve you. Now, this is your responsibility. God will not come down to serve himself because of you. God will come down and clean your church. He'll come down and set up your sound. No matter the prayer meeting you hold, God will not come down to set up your equipment. You shall do that. God won't come down to go and win souls on the street or on the campus. You do that. You tell your neighbors about Christ and you live right. It's part of your serving God. Don't live like a saint on a Sunday and then like a devil Friday night. Come on. This is the year to wake up. Move up, move in, and move on with God. And you shall serve the Lord your God. Look, I've never met one person that served God in truth, in truth, in honesty, in all integrity, and they wound up dead like a dog. God is never, never unrighteous. Give me Hebrews 6:10. We'll come back here. Hebrews 6:10. We'll come back here. Quickly. Everybody read it. For God is unrighteous. Huh? Huh? How can you claim my grandpa served God but he died wretched? You are a liar. Or your grandpa was a liar. Maybe he was a hypocrite who served God openly but served the devil in secret. Are you with me, church? For God is not unrighteous to do what? To forget your work. If he forgets your work, then he's unrighteous. But he will not be unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Can you see that? Which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Service. God is not unrighteous. God is not unrighteous. David said in Psalm 37 verse 25, I've been young. Now I'm old. I've seen kingdoms rise and fall. I've seen kings enthroned and dethroned. But one thing I've never seen, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed begging bread. What more? What more do we want? Then we need to beg you, join the ministry. Every ministry needs members. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that you don't find a place to serve God in the days of your youth. Now, whether you like it or not, compulsorily you will serve Nigeria for 1 year after your university education. But would it be written concerning your name that you ever served God? Understanding. Nobody preached this to me. God taught me early. I saw it in the Bible. Because I've always been a voracious reader of God's word. I threw myself into anything available. They need a volunteer counselor, I counsel. They need a volunteer singer, I sing. They need volunteer somebody to pray, I pray. Is how I found myself where I am today. Volunteering. I stumbled into emceeing, which has taken me to nations from this church. MC. Yeah, we need an MCO, pastor. Bro, I wasn't a pastor. I didn't join this church to look for a title. So when I see those who are fighting for titles, I look at them again and I laugh. You are wasting your time. Can you be diligent in the little assignment committed in your hands? And see God move you to the next level. Understanding. Go back to my Exodus 23, 25, and 26. This scripture covers the fact that my children will never beg bread. It's impossible for Tirenulu and Unteluwa and their own children and their children's children and children's children's children if Christ has not returned to beg bread. It's never possible. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. In my darkest days in 2023, I said to myself, this scripture, Lord, you said the righteous will not be forsaken. Even when it tasted like it, even when it looked like it, but God never fails. At the nick of time, it will come through for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you have pain in your body right now, don't worry. It is going to go away. We have told it to go and it must go. Satan is like the goat of the beans market. Very stubborn. That's why you too must be stubborn in your place of prayer. Don't be gentlemanly in praying. Be aggressive in dealing with issues. In praying. Be aggressive. Be a woman of prayer. Be a man of prayer.
You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And I, God now said, I. You see the purpose, the what do you call it? The pronoun. The pronoun changed from he to I. And I, it is my job. My name is Jehovah Rofeka, your healer. And some call him Jehovah Rapha. Rapha Rofeka, the same thing. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So if sickness finds its way into your body, I am going to personally take it away. I am not going to assign an angel to take it away. I am going to take it away. My goodness. A brother joined this church some years ago. He had a wound that would not heal in his leg, oozing a very terrible odor. Some of you have heard the testimony before. But there was a side, there was a tweak to the testimony he didn't tell us. He just told his brother, and his brother just told me about 2-3 weeks ago. That year, maybe about 2 years ago, the Lord instructed me. Normally we have a communion service first Sunday. After that first Sunday, the Lord said to me, take communion every Sunday. Wow. It was the month of June that year. And we took it, some of you probably that were here would remember. And we took communion every service. He was a member of another church. His elder brother was a member of this church. So his elder brother went home with that instruction and went home with communion elements and then invited him to church. And sometimes he would even come late. The wound was so bad that the odor that was oozing from the leg would not even allow the brother sleep. It was that bad. It was so bad that if you opened, according to the brother, a bottle of methylated spirit and you poured it into the wound, this guy would not feel any pain. It was not normal. It was not ordinary. We found out much later. I didn't know anybody had that condition in the house. I was just obeying the Spirit of the Lord, like I've done this morning. And I know testimonies are coming in the name of Jesus. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You better go to a church where the Holy Ghost is allowed to speak. And not some vain philosophies of man. Things they say that they cannot prove from the scriptures. Like someone said, God is not a spirit. Spirits don't forgive. He said, whether it's God or devil, spirits don't forgive. Making such careless statements. An apostle. Another one recently, my wife was showing me the video. He said, God does not live in heaven. When Jesus was teaching us to pray, in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9, he said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father who art in Akwa Ibom. Where did Jesus say the Father lives? In so many scriptures, when you read, Jesus will say, as according to my Father who is in heaven. According to, as I was sent by my Father in heaven. This doctor of philosophy. Lord, have mercy. In the words of Acroberto, Lord, have mercy upon us. So this guy came to church and he was taking the communion. Long story short, he had a colleague who had the same wound. They took him to UCH. The leg was amputated. And afterwards, the guy still died. In our own guy's case, Jehovah Rofeka, who gave the instruction to take the communion, came in and healed the leg. Now, this is the tweak to the story that we didn't hear. He said one night when he was sleeping, he saw himself like in a dream, in a vision. He opened his eyes and some men were operating on his leg. He never told his brother. Oh, my, my. They came to operate that leg. So he woke up and discovered leg was healing and healing and until it was completely healed. The realm of the spirit is more real than this realm. People die in that realm before they die here. That's where people get switched off. It's like a fan rolling. You switch it off from the source, it will still roll for some time. Some people you see on the road are just rolling. That's what you say, but I saw him this morning now. Psh. That time it was only rolling. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Psalm 36 and verse 9. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what the word of God said. The Lord said in the old covenant, Exodus 23, back there, quickly, man. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall, the angel will bless your bread. Whatever I eat is blessed. Amen. Whatever they give you to eat, and the Lord does not put a check in your spirit, because he can put a check and say, don't eat that. Someone gave some stuff to my family, my children, and we wanted to keep in the freezer for them. And I said to my wife, I have a mouth now. So I opened the pack. I took two out of it, put it in my pocket. And as I was eating, I had a conviction in my spirit that don't give that to your children. No, don't do that. I didn't tell my wife. This was last night. This morning, we're going to have our shower. And I said to her, you know what? That thing is going to the dustbin. I said, did the Lord say anything to you? She said, I didn't know how to tell you, but I had a check in my spirit that so. I said exactly what I had in my spirit without a prior conversation. I have got my fingers burnt before by not listening to the Holy Spirit. Don't do business with that man. Don't ever have anything to do with that man. I didn't listen. I went into business with him. I got my fingers burnt. Oh, he's a reverend. He's a general overseer of a church. He started a church. The church is still moving. Come on. He's a scammer. God knows every scammer. I was talking to a young man this last week. I can tell you stories upon stories because I'm a real, I don't believe in theoretical Christianity. I believe in practical Christianity. This young man got into a lot of trouble. And he withdrew himself from everybody. So as I was talking to him in the presence of his mom, he said to me, so I said, stop right there. I said, let me tell you my own story. So I told him my experience with this scammer. Apparently, the Lord allowed me to also go through that so I can be a blessing to other people and open their eyes. When I said certain things, I said, Pastor, that vibes with me. What vibed with him? What vibed with him was the Lord had warned me never to do business with that man. He said, you see this guy that got me into trouble? The day someone else gave me his contact, they gave me his number to call him, to do business with him. He said, I swear there was a witness in my spirit. The Holy Spirit said, don't call that guy. He said, but I looked at the money I would make from this business. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Never in your life again, not me, not Fred Elegbe, not PFE, would ever take a decision based on sight. I never will do that again. Bring me the best business proposal until I pray and pray and I have a conviction I'm not going to do business with you. Glory be to God. Oh, we're members of the same church. That doesn't mean jack. In the same church, people initiate people into the occult. In the same church, some people help you to grow. Some people help you to backslide. They help you to backslide. You were clean before. You were a virgin. People were unbelievers. Virgin on campus. They will come to church. A brother will sleep with them in church. And deflower them. And impregnate them. And help them to terminate the pregnancy. People turn people to Yahoo in church. And not just in our church. Everywhere. But the Lord said to me, because I was very grieved when I had certain things, he said, I'm going to purge the floor. I will purge my floor thoroughly. And he's got his fan in his hand. So let them beware. If you're in church to get people into the world, you will soon expire. Yeah, you will. Because you cannot survive. You can't be breaking the church of God. You cannot be hurting the body of Christ. You are hurting the body of Christ. You can't turn girls into pimps. You can't pimp them up for men. No, you can't do that in the church. Stay in the world with your business. Don't bring that into the church. And don't introduce drugs to people in the church and turn them to junkies. I don't care who you are. Or introduce Yahoo to young boys, unsuspecting young men. You woo them into your evil. No, you will expire. And in the name of Jesus, you will expire unless you repent. Unless you repent. Jesus died for the church. He shed his blood. Young people, be careful. Be careful. I know some of you have emotions running haywire. You see a girl with big bum bum, you run. You can't think again. I told people to join, to get into groups of four to pray. And I was hearing stories. Groups of four to pray. Groups of four to pray. To pray. And I was hearing stories. I learned in one church every Friday, they canceled their all night because, you know why? A big church here in Ibadan, I won't mention. By Saturday morning, when the cleaners were cleaning the compound, they were sweeping condoms. Young people. Young people. They will leave home. They will say, we're going for vigil. It was a hangout for boyfriends and girlfriends. Some of their parents were elders in the church. They were in the church. Their parents were in the church. They were using church compound. Instead of paying for hotel, just go to one corner, sir. And when they are done, dump the condom on the floor. It may sound funny, but we should be crying that on the holy ground, such is happening. I'm told that, let me not go too far. Some young people in a relationship inside the church, they are almost kissing each other. Like God is not in the house. 2025, the Lord told me, will not be business as usual. And I'm seeing signs already. Move in to Jesus. Move on with him. And move up in him. That was the instruction I got. Because it will be a year of multiple graces. Can I have an amen? Amen? So understanding is key in all that we do. And you shall serve the Lord your God and he shall bless your bread. Mercy, Lord. And bless your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. And God didn't stop there. He said, the number of your days I will fulfill. Your parents cannot fulfill the number of your days. It's not within their purview. It's not within the control of the doctors, your personal family doctors, your GP. In the UK, they call them GP. Your family GP cannot control the number of your days. The only one who can is Jehovah. He says, I will fulfill the number of your days. I will fulfill it. Are you with me, church? When my understanding came alive in this direction, nobody can stop me from serving Jesus. If I go to a new church outside this country, outside this state, and I'm going to be there for 3 months, I'm telling you, I'm not going to struggle for the microphone, but I will struggle to serve God. I will serve God in that church. If there is no available space, I'm going to ask them, please, can I be washing the toilet? When the message is ongoing, can I hear from the speaker? If I can hear, I will stay with the toilet people and clean. I want to do something every day for God, every time I have the opportunity. Some people leave this country, and the moment they get outside this country, they don't go to church anymore. Their Christianity has ended on the ocean. Because you are now overseas. What does that mean? The best country in the world is nothing compared to heaven. America is not heaven. Canada is not heaven. You get to some places in those countries, you'll be shocked. I was in a place in Atlanta, Georgia. I was shocked. I said, am I in America? This is not the America we see in movies, man. Someone would die to go there. Oh. Better make heaven. How do we prioritize God's presence? Number one, through fasting and heartfelt prayers. As we get into 2025, through fasting and heartfelt prayers. I didn't just say prayers, I said heartfelt prayers. Fasting and heartfelt prayers. Now listen, fasting doesn't change God. It changes you. How? It humbles your flesh. It impacts your soul. And makes your spirit open to receive from the Holy Spirit. Prayer, on the other hand, is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. When prayer is combined with fasting, it sends the right signal to heaven. It shows heaven that you are serious with what you are asking for. Whether you are asking God to send a revival, or you just deeply desire His involvement in your life's affairs, or just seeking and longing after Him, it sends the right signal to heaven. There was a woman in the Bible called Anna the prophetess. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. This woman was a virgin, and then she got married, and she lived with her husband for only 7 years. And the Bible says then her husband died, so she became a widow, and she spent her days in the temple, fasting and praying. And she was the widow of about 84 years, that's 84 years, all right, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That was how she served God. Do you think a prayer point was, Lord, bless me. Lord, give me bread. Lord, give me butter. Give me a car. Was that what she was asking for night and day for all of those years of being a widow? She was 84, Anna the prophetess. No wonder God used her mightily. Go to the next verse. Next verse, verse 38, please. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Do you know what happened? They brought Jesus into the temple. Baby Jesus had just been born, so they brought him to the temple for dedication. And as Simeon received him, and who had been praying that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah, and God granted him. So when he saw, as they brought Jesus, he knew this was the Messiah. And then he gave some prophecy. He also said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, an arrow will strike through your heart so that you will see the thoughts of many hearts. The thought of many hearts will be revealed. You know, when you go through bad things in life, then you will know what people are thinking about you. Ah, we knew it. I've always known it. That girl, she's the prostitute. Oh, that guy, he's the gigolo. Oh, no, no, he's not a good guy. Oh, no, no, no. When something bad happens. When something good happens in your life, everybody's your friend. Famzin. But when something goes wrong, everybody will say stuff. They will say stuff that is in their heart. And many people can handle it when you are not doing well. Not many people can handle it when you begin to do well. That's the story for another day. So, as Simeon was blessing the Lord, and Simeon said, I love the way Simeon died. Grace. Simeon said, Lord, now my eyes have seen the consolation of Israel. Can you let me depart in peace? Let me come home. That's a good way to die. Not that you just died anyhow. Unexpectedly. No, he said, Lord, let me come. Bid me come now. As Simeon was doing that, Anna the prophetess came in that instant. Nobody announced in the temple, bang down, bang down, the Savior has been born. This is the Savior, this baby that has been brought for dedication. No, nobody made an announcement. How did she know then that that baby was the consolation of Israel? The Redeemer that they were looking for. How did she know? She knew by the Spirit. How did she know by the Spirit? She was in the temple always fasting and praying. When you are fasting and you are praying at the same time, listen to me, your spiritual antenna will come alive. You will hear things that ordinarily you would not normally hear. During this fast, the Lord has ministered to me severally, because I said, Lord, I just want to consecrate this period to you. One morning I woke up 3 a.m. and I began to pray. At about 4:30, my phone beeped. Someone sent me a message from Canada. I didn't check it. I don't stop to check my phone when I'm praying. When I'm done talking to God, then I can come back and talk to man. But I knew when that message dropped. And I didn't go there. I kept praying. The Holy Spirit said to me, He gave me a particular word, a particular term. And it wasn't in my thoughts before. So I just kept it in the cooler and I continued to pray. When I was done praying, 6 a.m., I prayed for 3 hours. I went back to my phone now to talk to people to check, you know, the messages and all that. I got my Bible opened. And when I checked the message that came from Canada, it was the same thing the Lord ministered to me that that person was talking to me about. And that thing has also yielded something else from Canada as well. The same morning, without me checking my phone, without any prior discussion with that person about that thing, you will hear. God will cause you to hear. You will know certain things when you fast and you pray. When you add fasting to your prayer, you are showing heaven that you are serious. Nobody naturally wants to fast. I mean, will it be bad if we break the service in the middle and say, let's have a break, everybody, like 10 minutes break, and they bring in some shawarma, if that's your choice, if it's chicken pie you like, just some snack, something to snack on, and then maybe some barbecue or suya or something like that. Man, that's a nice church. There's a break to snack on something and drink something. Everybody likes to eat, even in the service. Do you know that when Jesus provided food and water, people flooded the meetings and they were looking for him to make him a king? He said, I know you are not looking for me because of the miracles. He said, but because of the bread and the meat that you ate. It's been from the days of the Bible. So don't look at me like you're a pope. I know you like food. Glory be to God. And who doesn't like food anyway? We're not all foodies, but at least we eat to survive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying, church? But when you deny yourself and break away from the norm, you will hear. That's when your ear will hear a word behind you, Isaiah 30:21, that will say to you, turn to the left, turn to the right. When you turn to the left, when you turn to the right, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. That's when Isaiah 50 and verse 4 will happen. He wakened morning by morning, wakened my ear to hear as the learned. He has given me the tongue of the learned, but then it will awaken my ear to hear. You will be hearing things. I don't know how to hear from God. Fast and pray. How did Anna the prophetess recognize Jesus? By the Spirit. When you fast and pray properly, your spirit man is able to pick up what God is saying. Pick up, thus saith the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and you are able to discern people. Another thing that happens is that you are able to discern people. Before you go into a relationship, I encourage you, fast and pray. Your discernment will come alive. Fast and pray. Not with a biased mind, with an open mind. And say, Holy Spirit, lead me. I don't want to lead myself. I like him. I know he likes me. But Lord, is he the one? Because it may be wrong, but it feels right to be with him, but it's still wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't live by feeling. We don't live by feeling. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You want your steps ordered by the Lord. I encourage you, participate in the ongoing fasting and prayer exercise. Participate. We have 5 more days after today. 5 is the number of grace. You have grace for this week. Participate. You won't die. You will not die. I saw a church member at an event that I anchored sometime last week during the fast. It was a Monday afternoon. And she looked away from me like she didn't see me. She's a member of the other church. She used to be here. And I was looking at her. I kept looking at her. They brought the small chops, and those people were very wicked. In addition to the small chops, they put some fruit. They put some things in sticks, like carrots, and I don't know what they put in sticks. But it would arouse anybody's curiosity. And they were going around. And one guy brought it to me. He said, sir, I said, no. I said, but could you get a takeaway pack and just package something? So after, when I'm done, I can take it with me. He said, I don't know, sir, but I will try. He didn't come back. And I looked at my sister over there. When it was time for food, she kept avoiding me. And it was a small hall. She kept avoiding me, and I kept looking at her. And I knew she told the lady next to her about me, because the lady was looking at me. She would look at me and look away. So I knew there was a conversation going on. And me too, I was there like a monitoring spirit. When it was time to take pictures, she came out with that lady to take pictures with the celebrant. And she came to me, Pastor, I said, now you're just seeing me. You're seeing me now. I said, Pastor. I said, member. Egwele. I didn't say anything. I didn't condemn her. But we both knew, because deep calleth unto deep. It will amaze you. 2 days ago, after the prayer, the lead pastor was going home, so I opened the door of his car for him to enter. And before he did, he looked at the same girl across the road with other people. And pastor said, the way you, this girl, the way you are smiling, I'm not sure you are fasting, no. And you know what she said? Ah, Baba, we not lie. Me, I'm not fasting, no. Take advantage of this moment, please. Take advantage. If you have never fasted before, fast now. Oh, health condition, health issues, God will heal you. Go to Isaiah 58. Healing comes when you fast. Isaiah 58 from verse 6, very quickly. Thank you. God bless you guys. I know you love me. I love you too. Are you getting blessed with what I'm sharing this morning? Isaiah 58 verse 6, let's read this very quickly. We're going to read up to verse 12. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? What kind of fast did the Lord choose? He said to loose the bands of wickedness. He didn't choose the fast that you'll be frowning all over the place. You tie your face, like they say in PG. Why the tie face now? Good morning. What's good about morning? We're fasting our church. No. No. God didn't choose that kind of fast. This is the kind of fast he chose. What was he expecting? What is he expecting us to do? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. And to let the oppressed go free. Anyone that is oppressed by the devil. You, in the period of your fasting, let them go free. Pray for them. Command them to be free in the name of Jesus. And that ye break every yoke. Destroy every yoke. That's the essence of a fast. Next verse. Next verse. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? So when you are fasting, it's also a time for generosity. The food you are not eating, give it out to someone else. Be a blessing to someone else. Are you getting what I'm saying? Buy someone breakfast. You are not eating breakfast. The money for your breakfast, use it to buy breakfast for someone else. Bless them. Be a blessing. Every time we fast in this church, January and July, we sow a seed as a church. I sow a seed on your behalf into the other church to buy fruit. We have 5 more days now. We haven't sown our seed this year. And I was like, I slept off. Lord, why? I'm going to have to sow it tomorrow, as I've said it to you now. So there must be fruit. Worst case scenario, by Friday, everybody will get something to munch. I mean, does that satisfy everybody? No, but we have done something. Do your little bit. Nobody can do everything in God's work, but do your little bit. Be faithful in the little. We're having workers' retreats next Saturday. All our branches are coming. We want to feed people, at least 200, 250 people. That's going to cost some money. Give some, sow some seed. All the money you've been saving for your breakfast, lunch, 20,000, sow it. 50,000, sow it. 100,000, sow it. 1 bag of rice, sow it. So when we all come together, we're going to have food that day in Jesus' name. Amen? Let me tell you, those things don't go unrewarded. Pastor may not say thank you, but when Jesus says thank you to you, it's a huge thank you. Are you with me, church? Deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When thou seest the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. All right, next verse, please. Then shall your light, when you are fasting, your light will break forth as the morning. Light helps you to see. Revelation. You will have revelation when you fast. God will speak to you when you fast. Your light will break forth as the morning. And thine health, your H-E-A-L-T-H, health will spring forth. How? With speed. Aremaya. Arami oya gaga. Arami oya gaga. When you fast, it helps some of us to lose weight. Maybe all of us, but some people don't like to lose weight because they don't have much weight. So they hate losing it. I was like that when I joined this church. What kind of church is this, for crying out loud? In January, I came with a big tummy and nausea. And for me, I lose weight like the flip of a finger, but to gain it. I remember in those days when I was trying to be big. I would drink ugu. I would squeeze ugu vegetable and then put milk. Sometimes my neighbor would tell me, I had a neighbor that was coaching me. He would say, no, it's not ugu and milk tonight. tonight is raw egg and milk. Raw egg. I hate the smell. But if, you have to be a man. You have to, so I'll break it. I'll mix it and then put milk and close my eye. Mm. I did everything. My neck was still very long. So you can imagine when I joined the church, me that I was managing my weight and then 50, by the third day of the fast, nobody will tell you I was fasting. Me go tada. My neck would just stick out like this. And then it would take me time, while I'm just about gaining it again. And I like me to look rotund. Then the senior pastor will announce again, we are beginning the fast for the second half of the year. Glory to God. I say, which glory? Ah! You want to kill somebody? But now I'm looking forward to it every time. I'm declaring my own fast. I'm doing absolute fast. I'm doing 3 days of no breaking at all. 3 straight days. Alone with God. God said when you do that, your health will spring forth speedily. Some excess glucose will drop, and then you have sound health. One of the they say in medicine, my Chicago-based medical doctor friend told me, one of the measures to help people that have, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, people that forget stuff, that thing happens because plaques have been built up in their brain. Plaques have been built up in their brain. So fasting is one of the recommendations of doctors to help you have a retentive memory. Students, you need to fast. Can I have an amen? Your health will spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward, and so on and so forth. When you get to read the rest, can we move on quickly? Number two, how can I prioritize the presence of God? Because I want to stop at number two. Number two, by the word. Somebody say, by the word. What's number one? By fasting and prayer, heartfelt prayers. Number two, by the word. By the word. Jeremiah said this, and I love it. Jeremiah 15:16. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And your word has become the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Can you give that to me in NIV? NIV. 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 America will say NIV. Read everybody. When your words came, what did it say? I ate them. Some people say ate, but I like to say ate. I ate them, right? They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Give it to me in NLT. NLT, New Living Translation. New Living Translation. God bless you, media. You know I love you guys. Everybody, let's read that. When I discovered your words, I devoured them. I'm just a devourer. Depending on where you come from. I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Give it to me in AMPC, Amplified Classic. God bless you, media. You're doing a great job. AMPC. Everybody, let's read. When your words were found and I ate them. And your words were to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God. I found your word and I ate them. Eat God's word. Eat God's word. When you eat it, there is no constipation. There is no overfeeding. Feed, 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 feed until your spirit man is very fat. That's where life comes from. Feed your spirit man fat. That's how you starve your doubts and fears. When you feed your spirit man very well. Feed. Some of you are feeding your body only. Your spirit man looks very malnourished and kwashiorkored. You take one cold meal in 1 week. One cold meal. After in church, I don't serve cold meal. Piping hot, right? You agree with me? It's piping hot. But do you feed when you get home? Do you open your Bible again? Media, are you ready with that video? I saw a video on Instagram just this morning. I wanted them to play. When you are ready, I'll keep preaching. When you are ready, you can interrupt me. I give you the liberty. When you start playing, I will stop. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? You see, Jeremiah said that. Okay, now, do we have audio to it? One of the men in that video looks like John Bevere. John Bevere is the husband of Lisa Bevere. They run the Messenger International Ministry. And they were actually essentially, look at what they wrote on top of it. You guys call it POV. Study shows what happens when you read God's word. I wanted to hear it for yourself. I don't want to say what they said. So it won't be Pastor Fred said. I hope they're able to figure out the audio. Before they figure out the audio, or while they're at it, Job 23 and verse 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Please eat the word of God in this season of fasting. Are you fasting? Yes. Are you feeding? Yes. What are you feeding on? The word of God. Feed on the word. Some of you don't even have a Bible. Buy yourself a Bible. Do yourself a favor this year. Buy a Bible. Buy a Bible in the name of Jesus. Oh, no, Pastor. I got my Bible app on my phone. So lift up your Bible, everybody. Now say after me, this is my Bible. This is my phone containing my Bible. I am what it says I am. I am what my Bible inside my phone says I am. No, get yourself a Bible. He said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. As a bachelor, I was listening to Reverend George Adegboye one day, years ago, a message he preached in our church during our convention. And I was so consumed by the word. I was consuming the word. I tried to cook for myself. I don't like cooking anyways. But that day, I tried to cook beans. So the beans was on fire as a bachelor. And I was on my laptop in my room, feeding on the word of God. I had about 4 DVDs to play. I was feeding. I had forgotten that there was beans on fire in the kitchen. My neighbors had to bang my door. Boop, boop, bang, bang. Who was that? With my earpiece, I had to take it out. What? You want to burn the house? Ah! I had forgotten I put beans on fire. By the time I got there, it had turned to, not popcorn. Do you know the native popcorn? The one that doesn't pop. Gilgiru. Do you know Gilgiru? Yeah, Gilgiru. It's not popcorn. Popcorn is posh. Pop, pop, pop. That's a machine. I don't eat it. It's artificial. The original is what I eat. The one they fry on the frying pan. Have you eaten that before? My beans had burnt. The pot had burnt. I didn't feel bad. It was this scripture that came to my memory. Woo! I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. I was so engrossed in the word, I forgot. Was I hungry? Yes. But I was more hungry for the word. And as I'm still talking to you now, I thank God for the gift of hunger. I am still hungry. After service, I go to my office, I'm still reading. Feed on the word. I beg you, church, feed on the word. Stop feeding on nonsense on social media. Too much filth that would damn your soul. Feed on the word. You are not who social media says you are. You are who God says you are. Can I have an amen? Amen? Even if you have missed the way, even if you have missed God, even if you know in your heart, as I'm talking right now, you're feeling bad, you've done some terrible things with your life, there is salvation in Zion. There is room for repentance this morning. You can make a change. You can make a U-turn. That's what the word of God offers. There is hope for you. Don't kill yourself. The same you can stand on the pulpit someday and share your testimony. And when you tell people what you have done with your life, some people will never believe and some will come to Christ because of your testimony. One of our brothers was sharing a testimony he never shared with me, but I saw in the video he sent to me. He said, Pastor might not even know this. I used to be a bad boy on the street. I used to sell drugs. Or I used to link people selling drugs to people using drugs. I said, oh, wow, this guy doesn't look it. It's just some fine boy. But it's not written on the face. But I thank God he's in church now serving the Lord. The rest is history. Can I have an amen? And who doesn't have a pastor?
I'm going to stop.
I stop. They'll get it right. I just want you to hear from other people what happens when you read your Bible every week. More than when you read it once, when you read it twice, when you read it 3 times, when you read it 4 times a week.
I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. 2 times a week, negligible effect. Now, at 3 times a week, there was a blip on the map. Like there was a heartbeat. Something happened. Again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was the profound discovery. When we're in the scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, but it was literally one, two, three, four, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
Bible.
Four
times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%.
Listen.
Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in scripture? If they're in the scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing.
Did you hear what they said? Please, media, you can put that video on all our platforms after service so everybody can go home and have a copy just to yourself and just look at it. See what they said. When people read the Bible once a week, negligible effect, like no effect, small effect. Two times a week, little effect. Three times a week, something like a heart. There's a bubble kind of, there's a change a little bit. But four times a week, you are getting into God's word. It might be the same scripture you are reading. But the fact that you're opening it and getting into it, after Sunday, you do Monday, you do Tuesday, you do Wednesday, you do Thursday, it jumps up. The effect just jumps up. Now, bitterness drops when you're bitter against other people. Because spending time in God's word ministers to you. You can't stay too long in bitterness. It will drop. Pornography drops by about 61%. Pornography is a major issue, not only for young people, for married people as well. For pastors. They don't like to admit it, but it's happening. My brother-in-law went to work with some people. I don't want to mention their names, so I'm not embarrassing anybody. And some of them were pastors, and he wanted to help them fix something, you know, connect their phone so that they could, you know, interact with what he wanted to share. And as he got the pastor's phone, the pastor was shaking. As he opened the phone, boom, porn. He was even watching porn in a seminar. The thing had built a tabernacle on his head. A particular lawmaker in Nigeria years ago was sacked because people came to his house. Other lawmakers came to his house in Abuja. And boom, he turned on his TV to entertain them with pornography. He was so used to it, he thought everybody was like that. Don't you like it? They will kill that girl. And they were like, oh no, not everybody's an animal. Are you getting what I'm saying? These things appeal to the flesh. Can we be a little bit real? Can we be a little bit real? We're going to have Pink and Purple Connect this year. So those will be specialized services to talk about those things. But when you spend four times a week in the Word of God, pornography drops by over 50%. Do you know what happens to anxiety? Do you know what happens to depression? Those things drop as you spend more time in the Word. Because Jesus washes us with His Word. His Word is water that washes us. Oh, let me move on a bit and then I stop. Have you been blessed this morning? Please consume the word until it consumes you. Last week, we remember the story of Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Martha was taking care of the kitchen. Mary sat at the foot of the master, and she was listening to his words. And Martha came to complain. Won't you talk to my sister? Don't you care that she leaves me alone to cook your meal? Why don't you tell her to join me and help me in the kitchen? And Jesus said, you would have assumed he would say, oh, Martha, thank you. You are a very, very good hostess. Mary, go and join your sister. No. Martha, you are encumbered with too many things, unnecessary things. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good path, and no one is going to be able to take it away from her. What is the good part? Sitting at the foot of the Master. For down at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place. Are you getting me, church? You see that in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. I move on very quickly. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the flesh profited nothing. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I want to ask you, Jesus' words minister life to you. How often do you want life breathed into you? How often do you want life breathed into you? How often? 10 years? Huh? Every day, every time, every moment. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. I plead with you, church. Treat his word as your daily bread. It is what will minister strength to your spirit in the time of trouble. Treat his word as your daily food. I am trying to imbibe a culture. You may join me. To feed on God's word before I feed on my daily bread. The word, the Bible before bread. B before B. The Bible before bread. In Proverbs 24, verse 10, the Bible says, if you fail in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The day of adversity comes to all of us. But if you faint in that day, the Bible says your strength is small. But how can I increase my strength? Do you know how we get strength? I don't understand what goes on. Maybe chemistry can explain or biology can explain it. But I do know that when I am hungry, most times I'm weak physically. That's not the time to go to the gym, right? It's not the time to lift weight. But somehow, after I have eaten maybe a bowl of rice and chicken and plantain, golden brown plantain, and the chicken is soft, and I prefer it grilled, and I have vegetable by the side, like ugu by the side, I don't mind. Some people don't combine plantain with moi moi. I don't know what's wrong with them. You can combine it. So I have moi moi on one side. The moment I have seven lives, you know, you have crayfish in it, boiled egg in it, fish in it. Yeah, liver, a little bit of liver in it. Green peas in the moi moi. Seven lives. Can you imagine that moi moi? And it's big. And it's, listen to me now. The life food too much. And it's reddish. It's reddish. Rodo. Yeah. So it's on one side, and then my plantain arranged, well arranged, round. Don't chop it too small. Big. On one side. And then, you know, maybe golden brown or the type that is very soft and is becoming reddish. Yes. Put it on one side. When I'm done devouring that, somehow I sweat. Somehow. There is energy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some people don't know what I'm talking about. Their language is akbu. When they are weak and they are tired, give them akbu. And ogbono soup. Or ofe olubu. And then there's okporoko inside. There is stockfish. By the time they are done, these guys can fight you. Energy comes. Does it come in the form of adenosine triphosphate? I doubt it. But I think glucose, we get some glucose from food. Am I right about that? Adenosine triphosphate will come from aerobic respiration. When we take in oxygen and then it goes into the Krebs cycle and all of that, and then energy is released in the form of 24 ATP. Ah, come on, I'm a doctor. Ah, me easy. Shakara. But you know, what we agree on is that whether you're a law student or medical student or anything you are, you know that when you eat, energy comes. Oh, shit. That's why when you're fasting, you're unable to fight much. Somebody will abuse you. Are you crazy? Say, no, be born again. Give your life to Christ. You walk away. You don't go fight. I won't say we're fasting our church. Oh, boy. Say, you the crazy. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. But when you are done eating, then you now go back. Come, the other time. What did you say? Energy. When we feed, we have strength. Are you getting what I'm saying? We feed to have strength, even in the physical. We feed to have strength. How about the spiritual? We also feed to have strength. I'll give you a scripture or two scriptures, and I'll stop there. I promise I'm going to stop now. Do you want me to stop? How do you generate strength? By feeding. Proverbs 24 verse 5. It says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. A man of knowledge increases strength. So when you go after knowledge, you increase strength. When you feed on the right materials, you increase strength. Now, listen, church. Don't pamper your weakness. Generate strength by feeding on God's word this year. Sir, can we get strength from bread? Psalm 104 and verse 15. On the screen, please. Psalm 104 verse 15. I want to show you something. You haven't seen that scripture before, I promise you. Let's read everybody together. One, two, go. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man. I can't hear you. One, two, go. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man. And oil to make his face to shine. And bread, which does what? Strengtheneth man's heart. Bread gives strength. Bread, food, gives strength. You don't need a revelation for that. You know. Could that be the reason Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, 9 to 11, and Luke 11 and verse 3? Matthew 6, 9 to 11, part of it says, when we pray, we say, give us this day our daily bread, because we need it to be a daily bread. I love the way Luke put it. Luke said it differently. Luke 11:3. He said, give us day by day. Day by day. Our daily bread. Why? Because according to Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. By bread alone, man will die. But by his word, the living bread, man will live. John 6, 47, Jesus said, I'm the living bread. Actually, 48. John 6, 47, 48, up to 51. And in verse 57, he said the same thing. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. The communion that we take is just a symbol. His flesh is the living word. The flesh of Jesus is the living word. How is this flesh the living word? Jesus said, I am the living bread. The bread from heaven. Not the type that your fathers ate in the wilderness and they died. He said, I am the bread from heaven. When you eat my flesh, you will live. Jesus said so. Jesus, shall we hold you and become cannibals? And begin, the Jews went crazy. What are you singing? You going to eat? Give us your flesh to eat? They did not understand anything he was saying. They fought him. This man wants to turn us to cannibals. No. They have not read John chapter 1. And verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. When you hear from the mouth of Jesus and you eat what you hear, that is his flesh. When you sit with the Bible and you read and study and meditate, and he gives you a rhema from the Logos, you are feeding on Jesus. And when you feed on him, you have his life. You have his order of life. And his order of life is full of dominion. So you also have dominion over the works of the devil. Can I have an amen? Can you imagine Jesus being involved in an accident and they are breaking the door of the car to get him out? Oh, Jesus, don't die. Bring water. Let's pour on him. Can that happen? When you eat his flesh, will that happen to you? Never! Can you imagine Jesus being in the class and he's the bottom of the class? Olodorabata. We know the people that have carryover every year. Now, Jesus, never. You will never hear his name there. Hey, no, not possible. Thank you. So whatever is not possible and not traceable to Christ should not be traceable to your life. Can I have an amen? As you feed on the word of God, will challenges come this year? Yes! But will you overcome? Yes! As you feed on the word of God, as you feed on Jesus, feed on him and your victory is guaranteed. Feed on him and your dominion is guaranteed. Stand up, everybody. Glory be to God. Have you been blessed today? I'm going to continue from there next week. Thank you, Lord. Eat Jesus every day by consuming his words until his words consume you. How do you know the word has consumed you or is consuming you? You begin to do what it says. The word says pray, you pray. The word says win souls, you win souls. Evangelize, you evangelize. Give, you give. Fast, you fast. Just do it. I beg you, young people, whatever you are told to do in this church this year, just do it. Invite people to church. Invite them. If we give you people to follow up, follow them up. Dedicate this year to the Lord and say, Lord, this is your year. It is the year of the Lord. My phone is dedicated to the Lord this year. It's not for pornography. My laptop is dedicated to the Lord this year. It's not for Yahoo. My mind is dedicated to the Lord. For him to think his thoughts through me. My mouth is dedicated to the Lord. It's not to be gossiping and be backbiting other people. I'd rather pray for others and encourage others and build up with my words. I'm not going to tear other people down with my words. I'm going to walk in love this year as I dedicate my life. Take up my life this year, 2025, Lord. And do whatever pleases you with it. A very dangerous prayer, but very blessed prayer. I knew a woman that prayed that prayer many years ago. A very young lady, she didn't know what to do with her life. She just found Jesus, she just got born again. She didn't understand it, but she said out of desperation, Lord, take my life and do whatever pleases you with it. And God is still using her till today. Her name is Gloria Copeland. God has used her in the area of healing, powerful, powerful healings, and even prosperity, wisdom, intimacy with Jesus. That woman is a deep teacher of God's word. Simple, but profound. Can you say, take my life, Lord, this year? Don't be afraid. Say it. Say, Lord, take my life this year. I'm not asking you to die. I'm not saying, God, bring me to heaven. All right? But say, Lord, take up my life this year. Some of you don't want to give your life to Christ this year. If you want to, join me and say it out loud. Say, Lord, take up my life this year and do whatever pleases you with it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I say the final prayer, I want to pray. I was having a chat late last night with one of our nurses, and my heart just reached out to all of them. Nurses, doctors, medical students who would be on the ward, working night shift, and they would also come to church in the morning. I don't know how people do that. And I was saying to her, and you will not be sleeping in church. She said, well, Pastor, I just want to take advantage of every Sunday morning that I'm not on shift, something like that, on morning shift. I see some of you sacrifice to come to this church. Some of you come from very far places. Not only the nurses and medical people, there are many other people who come from very far places. Some of you work in Lagos now, and you still make it to it. But at least I see two people in this service this morning who work in Lagos. And you get on the train just to be in church. And I know one of our sisters also, who is a nurse, who works on the train. And when she's on duty Sunday morning, you know what she does? The train will take them to Lagos. And she will get down and rush to our Yaba church. We have a church in Yaba, just to have about 15, 20 minutes of service. Because they'll be rounding off already. And she's functional there. And when she's not on duty, on the train, 2 weeks, she's in church, in media. My heart just reaches out to people this morning, and I want to bless you. Can I bless you? And I want to bless everybody. I'm just using them as point of contact. Because everybody who comes here, really, you have a choice. You could have chosen to go somewhere else. I appreciate your coming. Some of you don't get transport fare from us. You just, whatever happens, if you have to trek, you trek. You have to look for money anyhow just to be in church. I want to bless you. I'm pregnant with blessings this morning. And I want to deliver. My words will be simple and few, so it's not a long prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm taking my blessing from, this is called the priestly blessing. And I'm a priest, so I want to bless you. Numbers chapter 6, from verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now lift your hand, everybody, as I bless you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Peace. Shalom. Shalom. I pray for those watching online, those listening online, some are at work right now. They can only plug in their AirPods and listen. I'm blessing you as well. I'm blessing those who are not even members of this ministry, but who just love us and who come to our service every time we are open. All over the world, in the US, in the UK, in Canada, in Ghana, Cameroon. Yeah, in other cities of Nigeria, in Singapore. All over the world. May these blessings attend to you. May these blessings envelope you. May you be kept in the name of the Lord. May you be untouchable to the evil people of this world. May the criminals of this world never find you. Anyone that will disrupt your journey, the journey of your life, may you not meet them. When you are running very fast to go and meet them, may there be a divine delay. Amen. And may there be a detour. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, you know how heavy my heart is this morning to bless your children. Lord, take it off my heart and release on your children. Even when I can't find the right words, Lord, please bless them. Put your hand upon them. Each of them. Every one of them. The ones who have backslidden and we don't even know, bring them back into the house. Strengthen them. Establish them on Christ, their solid rock. Let them know that you are the true treasure that they know, that they find. They are finding you, but some are doing drugs. Some are having terrible sex, like there is no tomorrow. You are the one they are looking for, but they don't know. They don't know you are the one they are looking for. You are the desire of the nations, according to Haggai chapter 2. You are the desire of the nations, Jesus. Invade our hearts in this house by your love. Let the backslider come back home. Let them find their way back home. Let them be established once again in the faith. Let them be used for your glory. Everyone struggling with sin right now, Lord, deliver them. Break the shackles of sin over their lives. Everyone dealing with an addiction, I break the shackles of addiction over you right now. Addiction to whatever in the name of Jesus. The only addiction you will know from today is addiction to the Word of God. You will be addicted to the Word of God. And you will live free in life. Everyone in bondage and they can't even speak out. They are in bondage to some people, but in bondage to one bad habit or the other. In bondage to Satan himself, but they can't speak out. They have been threatened. Father, by your own divine presence, deliver them. Amen. Let every snare this morning be broken. Amen. Let their souls escape as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Amen. Let the snare be broken. In the name of Jesus, let your people go free. Lord, let your children go free. This is the day, this is the hour of freedom. Let your children go free. Whatever trips them, makes them fall into sin very easily, Lord, let it not be able to trip them anymore. Let them lose the taste for it in the name of Jesus. Let them only have the taste for your presence in the name of Jesus. Lord, let them see that you are the treasure that they should hold dear in the mighty name of Jesus. More than silver, more than gold, more than fame, more than followership on social media, followership on Instagram. Lord, let these young people know that you are the treasure they are looking for and that you are not far from them, but you are near. Lord, fill up their heart. And as you fill up their heart, bless the works of their hands. I have entrepreneurs in this house. Lord, please bless them. It is my desire that you raise at least 100 millionaires from this house. Lord, please do it. Amen. Lord, let the process begin now. Amen. Lord, let us have testimonies this year. Amen. You've started with 1-2 people. Lord, let us have more. Amen. Increase your hand upon this house. Amen. Let there be more miracles, signs, and wonders in this house. Amen. Let your name alone be glorified here. This is the house of your glory, Lord. You have had the mockery of those who are mocking us. Let them eat their own words. Amen. Come through for us, O God. Amen. I pray for your children again. Deliver them from those who don't like them. Amen. Deliver them from those who hate them. Amen. Deliver them from the scourge of their tongues. Amen. Keep them in the hollow of your hands. Those who will be traveling back to school, Father, grant them Johnny mercies. Amen. Those who will be coming back to town, grant them Johnny mercies. Amen. Let nobody lack in this house, O God. Amen. Our bread and our water, your angels will bless. Amen. And that's to say that you will provide. Amen. Nobody will lack this year. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Nobody will be denied education because there is no school fees. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In this house, we'll be helping other people to pay their school fees. In the name of Jesus. We'll be giving out designer clothes. We'll be feeding the poor. We'll be leading them to Christ. Lord Jesus! This is my heart content this morning, as inspired by you. Do it and take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, somebody shout amen. I love you, church.